Some call it black magic, but to Satan, it's just business as usual. He gives spiritual power to deceived people. This power is not for good. It's power to destroy. Through satanic rituals, sorcery, charms, and other means, the devil enslaves his victims in a world of false religion, a world of evil, and a world of bondage. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the invisible world, where battles are lost and won. Now, join us as we hear a message on power from the dark side.
This is a series of messages on the invisible world. In the invisible world, there are two kingdoms. One is the kingdom of light, and the owner of that kingdom is God. The other kingdom is a kingdom of darkness, and the god of this world tries to exert authority in the kingdom of darkness, and those kingdoms come into conflict. I'm well aware that as I speak on this topic, that there are some of you who know that you are troubled by the kingdom of darkness, and you know that. There are many others who may be troubled by the kingdom of darkness who don't know it. They just attribute it all to human nature, possibly to their own stubbornness, their own self-will, and they don't understand that they are having a spiritual conflict as well. That's why, even though this message is for everyone, including myself, there is an opportunity for all of us to listen as perhaps we've never listened before. And even though I've prayed already in this service today, would you join me one more time? And would you pray? And would you silently ask God to give you ears to listen, that you might hear his word, that there might be understanding and freedom and deliverance today through his word? Father, you know every heart that is bowed in your presence. You know the trouble. You know the agony. You know, Father, the spiritual conflicts that all of us have experienced. And we ask today in the name of Jesus that there might be clarity, understanding, helpfulness, direction, and deliverance. Show that to all who are bowed in your presence. And even those who came here today not expecting any particular blessing, surprise them and show them the greatness and the beauty of the name of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Last time I spoke to you about knowledge from the dark side. Today I speak on the topic of power from the dark side. And today we live in a day of occultism. It is everywhere. Last message we talked about such things as fortune tellers, channelers, all those who are involved in somehow receiving knowledge from the occult world. Today I'm going to be speaking on topics that may include things like charms and ceremonies and sorcery and rituals and curses and all of those things that exist in the spirit world that people in one way or another are connected to. There's no way that I can list them all. Not sure if I told you this recently, but many years ago, as we have done on several occasions, we've had sermons on this topic, and then later on we met in another room to help the people who struggled. We had about 40 people one time who met in a different room after the service. And as we went around and we had them list the issues that they were dealing with, we were surprised to discover that there were possibly 40 different ways that people were in the occult, many of them not even knowing it. They didn't know that palm reading, for example, was occultic. They just thought it was kind of a nice game to play, or working with a Ouija board or whatever. And so even though we don't cover all those topics today, the Lord will show you the issues in your life, and hopefully by the end of this message, how to deal with them. But But I also made reference today, recently, as I spoke about this message, to the internet. Because it is on the internet, which has such wonderful information, that you can also get into all aspects of Satanism today, all different aspects of the occult, and it is so appealing. It won't hurt you. It will give you power. And now a word about video games. Of course, there are many innocent video games. Our own grandchildren play with video games, and your children and grandchildren may as well. But I'm deeply troubled this past week, having read 3 or 4 articles on video games, to discover what we already knew, namely that the level of violence in video games is increasing, and that level of violence, when children are involved in it, it only fuels their aggression, their anger, and their own violence. The idea that somehow, well, you know, he's an angry boy, so this gets him an opportunity to work it out, is pure nonsense. You know, the old idea that counselors used to say, you're mad at your father, pretend a pillow is your father, and then just go ahead and beat it with a bat and it'll get it out. No, it won't. What it'll do is fuel it more. You can't get over anger unless you deal with the causes of anger. What video games will do, if they are violent games where you have the power, you can kill all these people. And no matter who you are, like one article said, no matter how dorky the kid is, he can become a hero in the video game by killing all the people and winning these battles. You can't do that and then suddenly turn out to be a nice, calm boy on Sunday. Well, you might be able to do it, but not for long. And then the occult, it's there too. Where you are trapped into games that go deeper and deeper into occult issues. Some of the articles that I read said this. In fact, one said that it is a terrible admission, but we have to admit, he says, that video games have the same impact on a child as pornography in terms of these obsessions. And they said that even though one of the most basic concerns of children today is the natural drive to eat and to sleep, children are foregoing that in order to play these games. And Rebecca and I know of parents who have told us that what they did is they set up a camera, unknown to the child, to prove that he was into these games, because he was saying, no, Mom and Dad, I'm not. Kid was up almost all night playing these games. Could I suggest to you as parents, why don't you sit down with your child and play those video games with him or her to see what in the world those kids are up to? I know that they're a lot smarter than we are. If you have a VCR like mine that keeps flashing noon all the time, you need a 12-year-old boy to come and to program it for you. But the fact is this, that why don't you sit down and find out what they are doing and then say no when you see something that is unhealthy. Just say no. This whole idea, well, you know, everybody's doing it. Well, Jesus would say almost everybody's going to hell, wouldn't he? He said that the way to life is narrow and few there be that find it, but the way to destruction is broad and many go in thereat. Your teenager might curse you. He might be mad at you. 15 years from now, he'll say, Mom and Dad, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for keeping me from the kinds of things. Yes. The kinds of things that my peers got into. Well, there's another level of occultic activity, and that has to do with miracles. And this leads us to one of the most remarkable, interesting passages of Scripture in all the Bible. It's found in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts. Paul is in Ephesus, Acts chapter 19. And first of all, we see here very clearly the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel bringing deliverance, the name of Jesus bringing deliverance. Acts chapter 19, I hope that you turn to it in your Bible if you just happen to forget yours, page 928 in the Bible that is there ahead of you in the seats in front of you. 928. Verse 11, and God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that he had touched or that touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and evil spirits came out of them. Wow. A couple of comments. First of all, Luke recognizes that these are extraordinary miracles. This was not your average, even for an apostle. And when the scripture says that handkerchiefs that touched his skin, actually the Greek text is a little bit more vivid. It refers to something like we would say sweatbands. Very probably as the apostle Paul worked, as we know, making tents, and that's what he did so that no one could say that he was in the ministry for the money. You remember the apostle Paul doing that? Probably he had a handkerchief or a rag to wipe his brow. Maybe he had some kind of a sweatband, and then an apron. He would work with an apron as a woodsman or whatever was necessary in order to build those tents and to make them. And so these were taken, and it was as if the apostle Paul was present when they were taken to people, and the people themselves were healed, and evil spirits came out of people with the power of those objects. Actually, it was God, Luke wants us to understand, who of course wrote the book of Acts. It was God who was doing it, and miracles were abounding. Couple of comments regarding these miracles. When you look at the Bible, you notice that there are three times, three eras in which there were great miracles. One was during the time of Moses, when there were all those miracles getting the people out of Egypt. Another was during the time of Elijah, just before the whole prophetic office began. And you have all of those prophets that prophesied after the time of Elijah and Elisha. And then the third time are during the times of Jesus and the apostles. Now, it's interesting that the apostle Paul was able to do this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, Paul says this, "I had the power to do the signs of an apostle." There were certain gifts that were given to people back there and to the apostles as the church began. And it's interesting that after the apostolic period, all of these miracles almost essentially died out. Now, today you find people that they are claiming that the dead are being raised and all these miracles are being done. We have some missionary friends who were told the country that you are going to has had a whole bunch of miracles and God is doing all these wonders. They went over there, and the more they investigated, somehow all of these stories somehow evaporated and there was no good historical evidence that they were happening. Most assuredly, the Apostle Paul didn't do like some preachers do today on television and say, "Send me some money and then I'll send you some water, I'll send you a handkerchief." I remember one man saying, "My handkerchief has been cut into 100 parts and the people who send me money, the first 100 will get it." Keep your money, all right, when you hear that kind of thing. This passage has been greatly, greatly misused. Of course, God can do those kinds of things today. Certainly, he casts out demons today. Whether or not God heals the sick as he did during the days of Paul, possibly in instances. But we don't have these kinds of apostolic authority today as Paul and the other apostles had. But those miracles were genuine. There was deliverance, demons were cast out, and people were healed, and they happened immediately. There was no doubt about them, and the people who were in the area could observe them and say, "That is a miracle." But now we come to the power of the devil. Now we come to the dark side and the great clash that took place here. You'll notice, you say, "Pastor Lutzer, this is bizarre." I agree with you, it is bizarre, but I hope that you also agree with me that it is true. Bizarre things do happen, and this might be one of them. Verse 13, "Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, 'I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul proclaims.'" Context. We don't know much about these sons of Sceva that are going to come up in the next verse, but there were exorcists who used to go around the country, and what they would do is try to find a spirit that was more powerful than the spirit that they wanted to exorcise from someone. So, you know, they'd have discussions and say, what spirit seems to be working for you? Well, I use the spirit of Solomon. That really works. Well, all right, what about the spirit of Moses? Does that really work? And so what they were doing is they were looking for some spirit that was more powerful than the spirits that they were trying to extort from an individual. So they see all these miracles. Paul is speaking in the name of Jesus. The miracles are being done in the name of Jesus. And they say, wow, we really found someone here who can do it. And so they say, I adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul proclaims. Verse 14, seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this, but the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize. But who are you? The spirit speaking through the man, of course. Who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them and mastered all of them and overpowered them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Wow. What a story. Couple of comments. When the evil spirit asked the question, who are you? It's not as if he said, I need to know your name. What the evil spirit was saying is, you don't have any authority over me. Who in the world are you to use the name of Jesus? You don't even know Jesus. As a matter of fact, that's why you put it in the other tense. You're saying the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. Whoever it is that Paul is proclaiming, that Jesus, that's the one that I want to use. When the Bible says that this man leaped on them and overcame all seven, we have to believe that they just didn't run, which would have been wise. They probably stopped to fight him. They thought, you know, this guy's attacking my brother. I'm going to help my brother. One brother helping another brother helping another brother. And all seven of them were taken care of. And if you ask the question how it was that they fled naked, if you knew the way in which people dressed in those days, oftentimes once you took their robe off, there wasn't much left to do after that. And so these people flee naked and wounded, and they learned a wonderful lesson. And the lesson that they learned is this, that the name of Jesus is not a good luck charm. You can't just evoke the name of Jesus and think that just because this ministry is talking about Jesus, that means we're talking about Jesus Christ's power. No, not necessarily at all. There are all kinds of ministries on television, many of which are good and right and upright, and there are also many ministries on television today where you have false prophets, and they're always invoking the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. That does not mean that they are authentic. I hope that you know how to identify false prophets. I'm not going into this in detail, but to give you just a certain clue. First of all, false prophets generally are just incredibly, incredibly arrogant. I watch them from time to time on TV just so that I keep up to date on what is happening in that cyberspace. And, you know, I saw one that says, I decree that you are going to be rich. I decree that I'm going to get a certain number of millionaires. Are you serious? You send him some seed faith and he's decreeing that you're going to be a millionaire? Give me a break. And then I had another one I'm thinking about who looked in the eyes of a couple. They said, we've come forward because we can't have children and we want to have a child. He says, what do you want, a boy or a girl? And they said, a boy. What color eyes do you want them? We want them with blue eyes. Now let's suppose that that couple doesn't have a child, or let's suppose that they get a brown-eyed girl. Are they going to say, you know, we were just deceived by a false prophet because he told us that we're going to have a blue-eyed boy? No, that's not what they're going to say. What they're going to say is, oh, if only we had had the faith. These folks always win. If there's a miracle, they take the credit. If not, it's your fault. You didn't have enough faith. And so it is that they prosper. Another characteristic of false prophets is that they are always speaking positive messages, exactly what the people want to hear, exactly what they want to hear. They want to hear about prosperity. They don't want to hear about greed and things such as the dangers of money. All that they want to hear is health, wealth. They don't want to have to deal with that nasty thing called sin. You never hear these folks talking about that. At one time, I was actually thinking I might preach a whole series just from the book of Jeremiah about false prophets. Let me give you a verse. They have spoken falsely of the Lord and have said, He will do nothing, no disaster will come upon us. Jeremiah preaching disaster, the false prophets, he's wrong. All is going to be prosperous and wonderful. We shall not see sword or famine. Then God says the prophets will become wind. The word is not in them, and thus it shall be done to them. And then another verse, an appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule at their direction, and my people love to have it so. Look at the crowds that they get. Beware of false prophets. One of the predictions made in the New Testament regarding the end of time was the proliferation of false prophets and miracles, as indicated in the book of Thessalonians and the very words of Jesus. So here we have the power of Satan bringing confusion because the name of Jesus is not sufficient if it is simply used as a name. And by the way, since I'm on a roll here, talking about the name of Jesus, don't ever think that other religions that use the name of Jesus are talking about the same Jesus that we are. Not in your life. If you want to really know about a very different Jesus, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul warned about the fact that there were many Jesuses that were floating around. He says, you're close to believing another Jesus. Well, my friend, that's quite a place to stop, isn't it? The fact that there are false prophets and there are false Jesuses, and they are everywhere. Last night, I arrived home quite late, turned on the TV, and for a few moments watched a false prophet. You know, and one of the things about him is he did say some things that were also true, and that's what makes them so dangerous. But he made outlandish statements saying that we could be billionaires if we begin to think like billionaires. False prophets are everywhere. Concluding today by encouraging you to stay tuned next time as this message continues. We need the spirit of discernment in today's very confused world.
You've heard Erwin Lutzer introducing Power from the Dark Side, the fourth of eight messages in a series on the invisible world. In a moment, I'll have a word about what's coming up on tomorrow's edition of Running to Win. For the things which are seen are temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal.
Well, there is an invisible world. It's the world of God and angels and demons and heaven and hell. And it's the world that we're going to be exploring in this series of messages. What we're going to do is to actually look into the scriptures and see people who encountered the invisible world and what they learned as a result of it.
Erwin Lutzer opens a door to the unseen, a door which shows us the conflict between light and darkness.
Knowledge from the dark side. People are seeking for hidden knowledge. The way in which most people get into the occult is through divination.
The dark side offers more than knowledge. It offers power.
Today I'm going to be speaking on charms and ceremonies and sorcery and rituals and curses and all of those things that exist in the spirit world that people in one way or another are connected to.
But the invisible world also guarantees a wonderful future for believers who suffer while on earth.
There is no comparison in the world to come. The invisible world in which we shall have an eternal weight of glory.
The invisible world, eight eye-opening messages by Erwin Lutzer, will be sent on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call right now at 1-888-218-9337. That's 1-888-218-9337. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Online, reach us at rtwoffer.com. False prophets are very real right now. As the devil's agents, they spread falsehoods about God to a gullible public. Tomorrow, more of the characteristics of false prophets. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.